I'm going to write the last arrow. It was a pretty significant time in my life. Every book I've ever written has deep meaning for me, but this one, maybe more than most. I wrote the book when a doctor told me that I had cancer. It was a moment where I realized that my life might be coming to an end. And the irony was that I had just written a book called The Last Arrow, Save Nothing for the Next Life. That night when I went home to edit the manuscript, the first line I read was literally this: before you hear from someone else, I need to tell you that I'm dying. I wrote that a year before a doctor told me I had cancer. I wrote down that I was dying. I think that's the core of the book, though, is that we're all dying. That from the moment we take our first breath, we are heading toward our last breath. That our lives are the dash between the numbers on our tombstone. That we live this life to the fullest. We stop wasting minutes and hours and days and weeks and months and years and lives. The last arrow has one significant purpose: that you might live your life without regret, that you might take all of your talent, your potential, your passion, your intellect, your resources, and use them to make the greatest impact through your life. It's time for us to take our last arrow and strike and strike. And know when we take in our last breath that we have left nothing undone.
I really feel like all the things that have just been happening have been leading up to this Bible study. Because had it not been for the things that happened, I probably wouldn't have even come across the book. So today's message is the last arrow. And he's speaking in the context of a Bible study that we're going to go over, in which it's one of those stories where you're sort of like, huh? So it leaves itself open to interpretation, but I can't really say I've heard a better interpretation than his of this particular Bible study. Story, or this story. Well, let's hear. His name is Ed Irwin. His name is Irwin. So I'm going to there's Edmund and Edward. Now we've got an Irwin. Has anyone ever known an Irwin in their life? You know an Irwin? How do you keep all straight? You know an Irwin? Yeah. His name is Irwin McManus. It was last Sunday it became apparent, as I was starting to get ready for church, that I would be flirting in my best of tips to take a shower, which, yeah, we sort of like clean up for church, right? Yep, I make Brable. But we just had the shower stall. When I moved in and we built what should have been an accessible shower, and it's been accessible up until like recently. And it's got this step in it. Mm-hmm. And I have to do this little ballet move to get up and twist and get my foot to come in, and it would have none of that. It was like enough. And so I said, okay, this Sunday, I made a bold decision. You know, Priscilla is so wonderful about filling in for me. I'm like, no, she asked me, I won't be there. So I thought that this Sunday we're going to do something different, and I'm not even going to allow the enemy the opportunity to thwart me. I'm going to shower the night before, which is why my hair looks so lovely today. But I'm here.
You look nice.
I'm here all day, thank you. Yeah, and after all that time, you're like, oh, your hair looks so good. You're like, all the years I've been doing it, I've just been doing this all along. I did it for homecoming just because we met so early. And I was like, this is possible. I can do this. This is a revelation to me. So that's, I vow, okay, Lord, if you're going to allow me to stay here, because of course that was the second Sunday, instead of watching endless hours of cable, anybody guilty of that? Maybe stay with Sunday, and what shows? American Pickers. That's a good gossip show, right? Anybody ever watch American Pickers?
What?
Yeah. You just get wrapped up in it. That or Pitbulls and Pearls. That's a big one for me. Love the dogs, you know. But I vowed, this Sunday, Lord, I shall read a book. I shall read a book. And so now, of course, we've all gone to Kindle. Does everybody read books on, everybody know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Kindle, it's electronic books, okay?
I got 300 books.
300? Oh my gosh, I just feel, I wonder about this now. Nobody's, all of our books, paper books, are now at half-price books.
Right.
You know, I mean, so, I mean, I have shelves and shelves of them, but I don't read the books. I read Kindle books. So lo and behold, there was one that, you know, because it senses your taste in literature. And it suggests books to you, right, Richard? So it pretty much gets to know you. Okay. So it suggested this particular book by Erwin McManus called The Last Hero. And I'm just really delighted to share some of the insights that I got, because I often start from people of it is fabulous when it comes to reading. Just reading, reading, reading all the time. Me, not so much. Do we have readers here? Well, that's good. No, it's good. It's good for you. Because we're supposed to be reading the Bible. Do we all read the Bible? I say I read the Bible every day. I basically spend about 30 minutes and go over the screen. No. But that's even not reading like it should. Like Bible studies would be studying. So we can study a little bit closer today. Because I really feel that this has a significance with our whole legacy series. Because we've been talking about legacy, and we've been looking back, and oh, this person in the 1700s. And of course, legacy, you know, from people back in the 1700s to, Don. And Ruth, who started this, there's a legacy there. Mm-hmm. But I want us to sort of be thinking forward about starting a legacy, if you have it, and what that looks like. Looking forward rather than backwards. Okay, so we're going to look at a scripture. I'm going to switch this. I'm just in so darn much trouble with my hands recently. It's hard for me to be like, I don't even staple stuff anymore. I don't trust myself to get it apart.
Sorry.
I know. It's just crazy, isn't it? I want to wait to go on. But this is from the Old Testament. And of course we have a lot of prophets. In the Old Testament, okay. Name a couple prophets. There's a prophet. Joshua's one.
Who's that there?
Caleb. Caleb really wasn't a prophet per se. But I'm thinking of people who got their own books.
Elijah.
I mean, there's a lot of books named for. Look in the Old Testament. Those names, all those names. Isaiah's like the Billy Graham.
Jeremiah are probably the ones that were.
You think about those. Yeah. Oh, and I've been reading through Ezekiel, that guy, you know. But anyway, I sort of think
that's the book is actually on a building.
We're going to read, for lack of time. time, I don't really want to read necessarily the whole thing. But I want to set it up. Because Elisha, this is Elisha. In other words, Elijah.
Elijah,
and then who is Elisha?
It's his predecessor. Successor, the one that came after.
It's the one that he picked and said, hey, you're gonna be a prophet. And thankfully, he took up the challenge. In fact, he was a farmer and slaughtered his animals and cooked them up, made a barbecue, and followed Elijah. How many of us would do that? That's another Bible story. But really, in this particular passage, we're going to be in 2 Kings 13. So we're in the book. I mean, there's 1st and 2nd Kings. So we're into the 13th chapter of 2 Kings. So we're nearing the end of Elisha's life. All right? And what's happening? What's happening is that Joash, I am such trouble keeping all these kings separated. I'm wanting to put too many letters, but it's Joash. And he is the king of Israel. And he is under attack from Amaziah, the king of Judah. Okay? And King Joash is scared. Because he's under attack. And they're very strong. So he seeks out the wisdom of Elisha. And what am I supposed to do? They were getting a panic and, help! What am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Tell me to do something. I'll do whatever you say to do. I'm just going to do it because I don't want to skip over it. Yeah, no, put it in your mind. So this is 2 Kings 13, 14 through 20. The death of Elisha. So we know we're going to lose him soon. Okay, when Elisha became sick with the illness with which he was to die, Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over him and said, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen. Can anybody, does anybody else want to read that, if you're able?
Elisha said to him, take a bow and arrows. So he took a bow and arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. And he put his hand on it. Then Elisha laid his hand on the king's hands. He said, open the window towards the east. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the Lord's arrow of victory, even the arrow of victory over Aram, for you will defeat the Arameans, I guess that's how, at Aphek until you have destroyed them. Then he said, take the arrows, and he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. And he struck it 3 times and stopped. So the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck 5 or 6 times. Then you would have struck Aram until you would have destroyed it. But now you shall strike Aram only 3 times. Elisha died, and they buried him.
Elisha died, and they buried him.
Wow.
What's up with that? What is up? This, you know, you go to somebody. Did you ever go to somebody and they give you some advice and you're like, what? Mm-hmm. Okay, but you're desperate and you're going to do it. Whatever you tell me, I'll do it, I'll do it.
Yeah.
But he didn't really say how many times.
No.
Right.
I mean, is this from defending this guy? But that's the whole point of this. Because, you know, we do the sort of hook, look, took format. That we, you know, do the little hook with the video, we talk about the scripture. But now we're going to look, and you really have to look at the symbolism here. So let me share with you a demonstration of arrows and quivers. Courtesy of Legolas from the Lord of the Rings. Yeah, Legolas was the archer, right? I guess he lived in Legoland. I'm kidding.
I hope not.
I love it. People love the Lord of the Rings. It's just
a mythology.
It's just the most incredible story. But that's who Legolas is. And so he's showing to us, of course, a bow and arrows. So what is this arrow supposed to really symbolize? Well, in the passage given, the command is to strike, which normally you don't do with arrows, right? You shoot them. I mean, he shot one, but then he says, grab them and strike the ground with them. But he didn't say to stop. He didn't say when to stop.
Mm-hmm.
But he did it three times, and, you know, they became very angry, stopped too soon. So I think of how many times we hear God say to strike. Will we stop maybe before I said to stop? Does that make sense? I think that's what our sort of message is today. Because he used to deal with arrows. The deal with arrows is they only work when you let them go.
Right.
Oh, you got enough for me. You really have to shoot them. You have to release them, to release the potential. By cutting them loose, amen? You know, and so we're really focusing on legacy throughout this whole series. I think perhaps the best way to begin is with the goal. We are not supposed to stop striking until that quiver. And that quiver, what in that picture? Where's the quiver?
Down by the skin.
What? I think he has it over his shoulder.
Oh.
Do we have any archers? Anybody ever done archery?
Yep.
Yeah, a little bit of archery. You have that quiver. Where's that quiver?
It's hung over your shoulder.
It's hung.
On the back of your, on your back.
It's hung over the shoulder, and then when you're holding the arrow, right? You're pulling, you shoot one, and then you pull another one out.
So it holds the arrow?
It holds the arrow. The quiver being, of course, the bow. I remember I had a, first thing when I came down here, and I was going to school at Tetra Flavoring, and I had an archery class. What a hoot. Has anyone done archery ever?
I know we have one.
That is not easy.
I still have my bows.
That is not easy. Well, I mean, that's like a manual one. Right now, when you see archery like in the Olympics, I think they've archery. They've got these super duper bows. Like totally
compound bows.
Combine. That you can't even pull back.
Well, my but it's original bow was a Kodiak, and it was laminated, and it. I stacked it up to 65 pounds when I pulled it way back when I popped it to my lip.
It is, sometimes it's really hard to pull it back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But here's the thing. We are not supposed to stop striking the ground until the quiver is empty. You can't stop. And I really think the takeaway from the lesson is sort of, don't stop whacking. Don't stop whacking these. And the Lord has been graciously leading me through this. There's the quiver. That's what it looks like. But it's empty. It's empty. And you can't really stop whacking until it's finished. My personal testimony, of course, is, I call it showered with blessings because I'm having such a struggle now. Just showering, getting in and out of the shower is like a major deal. And I am so tempted to not do it because it's hard. I mean, you know, with the injuries that you're suffering, how much harder are simple little things like a shower, right? So you sort of want to skip that, and you just can't do that for very long, you know, and be amongst society. You really need to try to clean up. But, you know, I think the Lord is so graciously showing me that I know it sucks, but don't stop.
Right.
You still have arrows left. And even today, getting ready. I didn't get ready today. I didn't do the whole. I did yesterday. But I was just like, Lord, I still have arrows left. I still have arrows left. So Pete, what an encouraging revelation it was for me is the goal is an empty quiver. Think about this. Think about this. We are to be Christ-like, correct?
Right.
That's our goal. What were his final words? What were the final words of Jesus Christ hanging on the cross?
It is finished.
It is finished, meaning
to tell us that.
I got no more arrows. I struck my last arrow. I'm finished.
I did what I came to do.
I did what I came to do. Praise God. And boy, does it get tough. Was it tough for him to do what he did? With? For what I've been going through, and of course, oh, the thing is, I wanted to just sort of share with Pastor. He's been graciously trying to step in and help me, but not this, the weekend before, last weekend. I just was falling out of the chair, just getting out of bed, and Pastor grabbed me. Praise God, I'm very someone sort of then lift me up, but what happened was, I think I slipped, and he didn't want to let me go. But in the process, what ended up happening was I heard pop, pop.
Uh-oh.
And I felt, oh, that's not good. I think I popped a rib or something. I mean, it's better now, but has anyone had that happen? That's painful.
It could be the cartilage in between the ribs.
Oh, actually. God.
Because that lasts about 6 weeks, yeah, every time you breathe.
Every time you breathe.
Yeah.
And for me to get in out of the shower, I'm basically having to poison myself up. So suffice to say, it was talking to me. Better now. But,
good.
Man, oh man. Because you just don't want to stop until you hear, well done, a good and faithful servant.
Yes.
I mean, that indeed is our art. It is finished. So I just wanted to share that with you because I know it just gets really, really difficult. But keep striking the ground. Don't give up until the quiver is empty. All right, amen. I hope that that's an encouragement because I know there's just so many people struggling.
Right.
Does anyone maybe need some extra prayer? If that is based on that, I'm hoping that that is an encouragement. I really felt like the Lord was sharing this with me so that I could share it with you. Does anyone have maybe an unspoken thing? Yes.
It was encouraging to me. It just seems like one thing after another happens, and
yes.
I understand. And just like the other day, I lost my wallet.
Oh, no.
And I've been at Dollar Tree, so I kept calling them by tribute. Well, we had a football game up Hostways, so I didn't realize I didn't have my wallet, and then, you know, I can't get in.
Oh.
Well, my son came to the game, so he got me in, which that was an answer to prayer. We go to the game, and I'm still worried about my wallet. And I was going, Lord, just the bank card alone, you
right.
have to change so many things on your bills.
Right,
and
right.
I went, I don't mind at all you giving me a lesson, but can it not be about losing my wallet this time, another one? So kept on and kept on. And then, you know, David was sick all week. Kim had that appointment. The kids were, there was no place to sit. I had to keep the kids in the truck. I mean, everything we did was a challenge every single day. And I just got so weak and tired. And I just went, I can't do it. So that encouraged me that I've got to keep hitting the ground.
Just keep
and trying. Just keep doing whatever. Even if I don't feel like it, then I still got to keep doing it because God wants me to. He don't want me to give up. But I did find my wallet, so that was
good.
Yeah, Josue won his game. I mean, things worked out. There was good things that happened, but it was just, it could have been easier. But I guess I just needed to learn some patience. Waiting on God is very hard for me to do most of the time.
Boy, and the persistence is really tough.
Mm-hmm.
And because I, it's easier now for me not to go out. But, you know, to the point at which it's, you need to get out.
Right.
Even if it is hard. I mean, I think of all the things that had to happen in just the right order for me to be here. And oh, this is my right mind, but I just have to keep whacking. So I do, I share that, and I encourage you to read the book. That's just one little part of the book.
Mm-hmm.
He's really a fabulous author. And the cool thing about him, he is from El Salvador. Mm-hmm. But he actually had a ministry in Dallas.
Really?
In Fair Park, like one of the roughest parts of town, for 10 years.
Wow.
He had a church, I believe it's still there, it was called Cornerstone.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know, maybe I'm always thinking ahead, next year being our 60th anniversary of, you know, the church, and maybe we could have him come, I don't know.
That'd be nice.
That would be really cool if we had him here. Mm-hmm. We'd probably have to meet somewhere a lot larger because he's pretty well known.
Mm-hmm.
I had just recently heard of him, but it's so very encouraging, and he does have some, you know, connection to us here in our ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Just being in the same city, but now he's out in California, in L.A., and his church is called Mosaic. And he's got plenty of stuff on YouTube if you want to watch, and plenty of other books, and so encouraging. I encourage you to read that, because, you know, we all need that, right?
Yeah.
We're just like, oh, the quiver's empty. And to go, hey, God just says, no, check. I think you got one left.
Yeah. I'm going, no, I don't.
And I think you need to keep whacking that one arrow until you see. So, Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the encouragement you give to us. And we're going to encourage each other, not about our arrows or, oh, I kept whacking and getting an extra point for that. No, no, no. You get the glory. And we just pray for the wisdom, courage, and strength to just continue whacking until you tell. So we praise you and thank you, Lord, in the holy name of Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.